What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Soul Therapy, the podcast. My name is Daniel.
Daytona.
Today, we will be previewing the highly, highly anticipated soon-to-drop Benzino's Novitsky and Eason's Chagumtong album. As usual, if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast on all streaming platforms and don't forget to give us that 5-star rating on Spotify as well. Also, for more content, please go and follow our socials at soul_therapy and also please support our page on Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/soul-therapy. Yeah, bro, the time is here, man. The time has finally come for Benzino and Eason's to drop their highly, highly anticipated albums. Well, I would say Benzino's way more highly anticipated than Eason's, but regardless, Eason's is still highly anticipated. And this is kind of like our preview and kind of like our guide to these albums. It's almost like what YouTubers have been doing with, like, you know, Kendrick Lamar's, Mr. Morale and the Big Stepper. They've been trying to like update people with like where the album's at. And so this is kind of like our version, because this has been a long time in the making, especially for Benzino. And so, you know, we're going to try to, you know, break down as much as we can, you know, in terms of like our reaction and our hopes for, you know, both these massive albums. And so, beginning with Novitsky, man, I mean, I think this is just, it's getting a lot more curious by the minute, or every second, I would say, because his first single dropped, Trippy, and I think you mentioned this before to me, like, the beat itself was a tight beat, and it wasn't like a well-known producer or anything like that. And so it was kind of interesting to see or hear that Benzino, you know, took on a very much like an unknown type beat. And I thought it was good. I think Trippy was a dope single to start with. I think that makes me a lot more curious, because I'm just so curious on how this album's gonna look like. And the title's Novitsky. And so for those that don't know Novitsky, he's a very famous basketball player. Dirk Nowitzki played for the Dallas Mavericks. It's so mysterious, the title and Novitsky, and I'm like just still wondering where this album is gonna go. It's a wild card for me, to be honest, because Benzino literally can go anywhere. You know, he could pull any types of trick. You know, he could pull any card that he wants with this album, and I feel like personally, it could be like a personal album, maybe a personal album, but it could be a conceptual album, who knows. But I think the road to Novitsky is just getting that much more hyped. And I think we're just so excited to hear what he's going to bring, because it's been, what, almost 7 years since 12. And I mean, this is just going to kind of like make or break it for it, I would say. But this is so interesting, because all in all, I think Benzino is the type of artist that he tries to really curate his craft like very, very meticulously. You know, he's almost like a Zion T, like it has to be like perfect or else, you know, it's like a fail. But I think, or what I'm hoping for, is that there's a big gap from the album 12 and into Novitsky. I want to hear something different, but still kind of in the realm of what Benzino is known to do. And so I think we're going to get that, but I really hope for a little bit more kind of like rap. And we might get that, we might not, who knows.
Yeah, like I think the singles that he dropped till this point, like the SoundCloud demos and the singles, and the Trippy single. I think I'm kind of satisfied in the sense that he's not in a comfort zone. Like Benzino kind of sucks when he's like doing very conventional stuff. I don't like it when he's doing conventional stuff. I like it when he's like super free form, like without any kind of like adherence to like a very fixed hook structure, like chorus structure. Like, I like him better when he's not organized. Like, I want him to do whatever the fuck he wants. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think the demos are kind of living up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the hooks don't sound like hooks, but if you keep listening to it, you kind of catch on what the hooks are like. Like, yeah. My favorite single so far has been...
the first one, Monet.
What was it? Yeah, Monet, exactly. Like, that's the kind of sound I want from him. Like, mm-hmm. something that is not boxed in. Yeah. So, he's not even, like, rhyming in a conventional way. Like, Benzino's stuff is not exactly, like, meant to resonate you on a surface level. I think it's more of, like Dadaist art or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. it's supposed to make no sense. And that somehow makes it, like, it kind of clicks as you keep listening to it, because there are elements within that kind of abstract free form that kind of leaves a certain edge that you can latch onto.
Right.
And that kind of, like... keeps it going, and you uh-huh. get to appreciate like how it's all put together. Like, and Benzino has always been good at that. And with the singles before this cycle, before the Novosky right. cycle, before he came into Vana, I was like, nah, this is too conventional for my taste. Like, despite like it's two of my favorite MCs coming together, I didn't like the Oko single.
Oh, the Okay Go.
Yeah, like, come on, like, that was too conventional. I mean, it's a decent song, I guess, but like, that is not what I expected when these two are coming together. Like, yeah. they're way better than this. And he dropped features here and there and there, but like, it all seemed like very conventional stuff.
Yeah.
But he's a way more avant-garde kind of like artist. Mm-hmm. Like, I go to Benzino for that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like, the whole Novitzky cycle has been very interesting to me because he's doing something new, right. and I like that. Like, he's going back to that mode he was when he was recording the second Jazzy Fact album and he was doing his right. first studio album. Like, a lot of people like to reminisce on the older Jazzy Fact days mm-hmm. and like the first 2426 EP,
mm-hmm.
but like, to me, they have always been like, while I still really fucking like those like albums mm-hmm. and the first album, for the first Jazzy Fact album being classic,
mm-hmm.
It still is not what I'm exactly going to Benzino for. I go for right. his more adventurous side.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm going to get that with this one. So that's good. Like, that's exactly what I want from him. And Pana right now is in a bit of a rut, honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, E-Sense has left the label. I think Frank and 250,
yeah.
Yogong is still more focused on the New Jeans stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So like, Shimya, it seems like he's going to drop an album, not soon, but he's working on it right now. Yeah. But like, Master Wu is basically absent. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
So like, Bana as a label is really depending on this like Novitzky stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, honestly speaking, I don't care about record labels that much in general, because I care way more about the art.
Of course, yeah.
That's coming out of those record labels.
Uh-huh.
Like, at the end of the day, I'm here because I want good art. Like,
right.
the business apparatus behind it, I don't give a fuck. This might sound a little bit cold-hearted, but I'm sorry. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But it's true. We're here for the art. If your mm-hmm. art sucks, I don't give a fuck how well your business is doing. And in that sense, like, it's not my concern for Bana.
You're right.
That I'm concerned for Bana. Uh-huh. I'm concerned for Bana because of the other, like, because the artists that are in Bana, if you do know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in that sense, like, Novitzky better be good, because I want Benzino's album as well, but I want the other artists to be able to like put shit out as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in that sense, like, I hope that makes it.
I think the only song that I wasn't really feeling was Put It Down, which was the last YouTube song that he dropped before Trippy.
Yeah, that was very chill.
It was chill, but it almost felt like
subdued.
Okay Go a little bit in ways.
Yeah.
Because it did have like that auto-tune stuff and
It
was decent, and I was a little hesitant. I was like, oh no, is this what I think it is? Like, I hope this is not the way he's going with this album, but it's a YouTube song. you know, I wasn't too concerned. And then when he dropped Trippy, then I was like, okay. Then kind of like my concerns kind of like subsided a little bit. But
I don't care what he does actually with his instruments or whatever like beat he uses. As long as he does something weird with it, like I'm completely fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I liked Monet so much. Like that beat is like very, it's very glitchy, I think.
It is.
It is very glitchy.
A lot of industrial sounds. It doesn't fit into a mold.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it doesn't fit into a mold, and yet it kind of works. And that's always been like Benzino's like ability to put things together that doesn't make sense, but somehow makes it sense. Right. Like, somehow make it sense. Somehow, blah, 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 somehow make it make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was honestly surprised when Monet got onto the like NBA soundtrack.
Mm.
Yeah, because
that's
like,
right.
Yeah, this maybe the Nowitzki name really paid off.
That like, could have been it, yeah.
Yeah, and like Sofa was decent. Yeah, I'm with you on Put It Down. Mm. It's not even because of the autotune. It just felt like very throwaway kind of vibe.
Yeah, it almost just felt like, okay, let me put this up there kind of thing.
So like, let's see what's going on. If it's anything like Monet or Trippy, I'm down. Like,
absolutely.
I'm like, recently, like, I have been moving away from like the very conventional hip hop music.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was down that phrase because I was a little bit tired of experimentalism, but like,
now you're appreciating it a lot.
But
more.
Now I'm kind of back on the experimentalism train. Like, yeah, it's always been like a back and forth, and now I'm in that phase. So I hope it drops when I'm in that mood.
For sure. Yeah. So our next big album is East Ends of Chuggam Tong, which translates into Piggy Bank. And this one, I think, kind of came at a surprise. I think we all thought it was going to be Blanky Mun, Unknown versus Volume 2, but then he introduced it as Chuggam Tong, and he dropped two songs on his birthday, I believe. And the songs were Die, featuring Paul Blanco, and Shiba. Yeah, obviously. But I mean, both were great tracks.
I was like, when I heard those tracks, I was like very, I felt surprised. Like, oh shit, I recognize the samples. The Die single is a Slipknot sample. It's a song called Tattered and Torn. Like the synths in the background that is like very noisy and eerie. Yeah, that's a Slipknot song. That's Tattered and Torn. And the other is Shibal. And there's a guitar lick in the background that's Liquid Swords. I forgot the exact song that Liquid Swords sampled. Wait a minute.
And that's the GZA album, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Willie Mitchell's Groovin'. Like the bass, like dick.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh snap.
Yeah, that's a Liquid Swords sample. That's Willie Mitchell. So I was like, huh? He's flipping samples that like number one, like Willie Mitchell Groovin'. Such a classic sample.
Absolutely.
Like, it's such a wild, like, it's such a wild kind of proposition. Because, like, what kind of album samples Slipknot on one end, and which is a nu metal album, and the other is, like, sampling a jazz classic, a funk soul classic. And I'm looking at it, and it's like, I don't know what the fuck this album is going to sound like, but they sound great, so I don't give a fuck. But, the Shibal song, and like it signifies such a interesting turn because Eason's usually doesn't rhyme this blatantly. Like if you look at his rhyme placements, if you're not Korean, you might not catch this because it sounds the same in the foreign ear, I guess. But like he's not as blatant as his rhyming usually. Like he usually likes to place his rhymes in unconventional ways and tries to go more with internal rhyming rather than like going external, very blatantly on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like the way he's rhyming on these records is more like it really shows that like, oh, he's really rhyming. You know what I mean? So like it's a very interesting turn. And another thing is like he's always killing it though. Like he always has good lines on his songs. Like,
absolutely, bro.
Like his lyricism is truly like even if it's not like profoundly like philosophical ones, bro, even if he's in like a very combative mood and a very braggadocious mood, like he finds ways to phrase and put out one-liners that just stick.
Yeah.
And like that pen game is like still so sharp, is it's what elite. I like about Eason so much. Yeah. Like he makes the philosophical sound very casual.
Oh, okay.
And the very casual make like a very philosophical, like it's not a separate concept to him. Mm-hmm. Because what a lot of the times when you look at these lyricist types, what happens is they either get too self-serious,
mm-hmm.
and they lose that kind of like relatability, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Like, is that a better word? Yeah. But Yi Sans, it's not just like fusing the two. Like they are the same to him. The most philosophical is the most casual.
Yeah.
The most casual is the philosophical.
Uh-huh.
Like that kind of like approach, that kind of like perfect synthesis is why I like Yi Sans so much.
Uh-huh.
And like he's showing them with the singles again. Like, and I'm looking at it all and it's like, man, I can't wait for this album. Like,
you think it's a mixtape?
Yeah, I think it is. And the thing is, like, the only thing I guess that has somehow been pulling Eason's back a little bit is that he doesn't really like, he chooses great beats, but it's not exactly like experimental.
I mean, that's arguable. I think that's just their preference, but I hear what you mean, though. I think,
yeah, like. But like I like that he's branching out.
Yeah.
What kind of motherfucker samples Slipknot?
Exactly. I didn't even know it was Slipknot.
It's Tattered and Torn. Yeah, it's off their first album, the self-titled one.
That's crazy.
Go and listen to the song right now. You know, like this, it's very blatant. People who recognize the sample was like, "Oh shit, this is a Slipknot sample."
Wow.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, and Paul Blanco did a good job on it as well.
Oh yeah, because, he did. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because like it provided a nice dichotomy, and like mm-hmm. I think he toned down like how stupid it can be. Like a lot of the times, Paul Blanco songs are like
melodic,
very blatantly dumb in a very intentional way, right? Mm-hmm. But like I think he managed to keep that energy without being too explicitly dumb, because being that dumb doesn't send like it doesn't fit a Nissan song. You look really stupid if you do it with Sense on the track.
You got to bring it so, like, game, yeah.
Yeah, and when I saw the credits, it was like, I don't know if this is a good mix, but once I heard the beat, I was like, okay, this is why Paul Blanco's on it. Now let's see what he does. And he did a good job. Like, oh my God, like, he's already, like, touring a bit, in a sense. Like, he's going on festivals and shit. So there's clips of him performing this song. Mm-hmm. And the energy is insane. Then I'm like, oh my God. And like, even like, there's this clip, there's another unreleased song like that he played there on the festival stage.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
And it reminded me of the old Clips shit, like with the drum patterns, like grinding, you know what I mean?
No way.
Like, that's what I mean. Like,
what?
Eason's production, while it has been very dope, like he always picked great beats, but like, it wasn't exactly like experimental in the sense of like you can fit these beats into a very clear like boom bap or trap kind of category. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The only song that I will say is like an exception is like on the Anecdote, there's a beat called, there's a song called Bikut. The one with like the very swirling like.
Yeah, it's very
quality
like
to it. Like that was an exception. Too, but most of the times his beats are fairly conventional.
Uh-huh.
There are spots where he's experimental, but he doesn't go like all out for an entire project. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, if anything I'm hearing about this album is like, this is going to be really like him trying different shit. And a lot of people that were kind of skeptical, not like haters of Eason's, but like a little bit skeptical, was like, I don't think Eason's, like there were some people saying like, I don't think Eason's is exactly going to fit on like, totally like off the world experimentation kind of beats, but like
I think it works.
I think these singles kind of proved it.
Yeah,
like, he can, and like I think like that might be actually why he switched up his like rhyming schemes.
Yeah,
because I think like internal rhyming is great, but like when you're trying to really fit into like unconventional tempos, like wild shit, like that, having like rhyming is kind of an anchor in how to like. like navigate that flow
yeah.
through like weird patterns. So I think that might be why he switched up his rhyme style. But at the end, like the point is like this is far better than I expected it.
Like yeah.
Because like when he said like he was going to do experimental shit, like he has been alluding to this. Like he said he was trying to branch out and everything. Like the like for example, he's a huge fan of Young Thug. And I'm like, oh no. When I heard that, I was like half and half. Because like when you're influenced by, when people say they're influenced by Young Thug,
yeah, that's,
there are people that are influenced by a very the eclectic side of Young Thug.
Yeah.
And there are people that are influenced by the super like mind Trendy. Blank yeah. conventional version of Young Thug. So I was like, oh no, what kind of Young Thug is he influenced by? You know what I mean?
And then obviously goes it turned for out the eclectic
it's
one.
It's the weird side of Young Thug. Yeah. And that's the thug I like. So it's like, okay, if this is what I'm getting, I'm good. Like, I like this a lot. I'm liking this a lot. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Just he surpassed my expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so weird. Like, every time I think he's not going to surpass expectations, he does.
Yeah.
And
well, that's E-Sense for you.
As a fan, like, that's great. Like they're like being a fan and being constantly surpassed your expectations is such a good feeling. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If you're like a, for example, like a Drake fan, everything, like you still love the music, but you know, like you can hear like, okay, the dude is coasting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, a lot of Drake fans, Kanye fans, like, when they hear their music, it's like, oh, shit, like, it's good. But, like, you can tell that they're, like, the artist is coasting. Like, okay, they're on autopilot.
Yeah.
Especially with Drake. Like, many other artists. But with E-Sense, I never felt that. Literally, never once. Mm-hmm. So it's like, shit, like, I can't, like, oh, my God, it's, I can't wait for the album.
Yeah, apparently he said on Live Insta that it's, like, 97% finished. And that,
yeah, know. And I think he's serious this time. He has a habitual, he's habitually lies about this shit usually, but
yeah, usually. And it seems like he's been a lot more active on like YouTube, like commenting on people's, you know, things and just kind of like taking it seriously. And so I think what I expect from this album is him to just kind of like don't get too carried by the pressure. Because he didn't, he doesn't have to do that anymore because he's already proven himself with like two great albums and Anecdote and Stranger. And so,
and he has a slew of mixtapes that is just fire as well.
Exactly. So. And so it's like, bro,
dude is legend.
It's like, bro, like just, you know, just have fun with this one. And I think with the title Chuggum Tong Piggy Bank, it's like really out of all the words piggy bank, it's like, that's such a wild card title, but I think for what E-Sense brings to the table, I think it makes perfect sense. And especially with the two songs that he has, I don't think we have to worry about what he's going to bring to the table because, I mean, it's E-Sense after all. Strong lyricist, you know, he's proven himself time and time after again. And so, yeah, dude, I'm super excited for both of these albums. Hopefully it comes out like, you know, one after the other. But I think overall, regardless, I think we're going to get both of these albums and one is going to make it or break in. The other one is like just stress-free, just kind of like go for it. And so,
yeah,
that's kind of all we have. And as usual, any artists or tracks that you're currently listening to and would like to share or recommend to our listeners? For me, I was thinking about this for quite some time because, you know, there's so many albums that are coming out this year and especially the Big Fish, you know, a lot of Big Fish artists are going to be like dropping their albums. And one of the Big Fish albums that's going to be dropping is Upgrade 5 by Swings. And that came at a surprise. Yeah, that came at a quite surprise, but I kind of figured it's time for him to drop a new album. And in light of, you know, preparing for Upgrade 5, I went back to his catalog and I went to Upgrade 3 and I picked a song called Medical Records. And this is more of a different side to Swings. This song has like a electronic kind of synth pop with a little bit of trap pattern to it. And obviously Swings a bit singing in it, but it's so different. Like, I mean, Upgrade 5 isn't like his best project, but out of all the songs in that record, Medical Records is it's such a weird title with a weird with a weird song choice. Like the sound pattern, it's just so weird. Like if you hear the title Medical Records, you would hear something like, oh snap, this is about to be something deep. But then when you hear the song, it has like this really bright tone, bright vibe to it. But obviously what he's talking about is, you know, quite serious. But I just think Swings, you know, obviously he's polarizing, right? And, you know, you either you love him or you hate him. But you got to admit, as a lyricist and the way he's trying to attempt to do different things with his soundscape, I think he's somebody that needs to get more respect. And I think definitely the song Medical Records shows it's, I mean, I would have never thought Swings on a synth pop kind of electronic style of song, but I mean, it works perfectly. So if you like that type of sound, go check out Medical Records. It's really interesting. Not your typical Swings record, but I think it's one of more of the deep cuts. Like people won't really cater to it unless you like that type of soundscape. So yeah.
I'll say the new 30 album. Yeah, that shit was fire. My favorite, however, of these would be...
I mean, they just get better with their albums. Like, it's better than their last album.
I'll have to think about it. I'm still thinking about it. I think my favorite was either Double Edge or... I mean, the whole album is great. I'll say Cakewalk or Double Edge. Yeah,
Cakewalk was fire, bro.
The intro. Yeah. There's a new 30 album, the 30 Crew album out called The Frost on Your Edge. I think it's a sequel to their previous album, which was The Frost on Your Kids.
And the first one is called The Frost on Your Head.
Yeah, that, exactly. That's like, I think it's like a consecutive series. The first one, The Frost on Your Head was the EP. The Frost on Your Kids was the studio album. And this is also the studio album. I think people are thinking this is an EP because it's nine tracks, but I think this is considered a studio album.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, this, the surprise is Deep Flow joined them, right?
Dude, that's nuts. That's wild. Yeah. Dude, that's
like,
wild.
I think it's very, like, it was unexpected. I didn't see them doing it because Deep Flow is so older than them. But like, at the end of the day, putting it together is like, yeah, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Bro, that was so wild.
This is like, this album is like a affair of like, not like heavy philosophical shit, but just like a bunch of MCs shit talking, right?
Yeah, just rapping.
Yeah, just rapping. Like, and they're like, I think that like the beats are actually very unconventional as well.
Yeah.
With like, I think the way the beats are constructed is like there's a very centerpiece that is rather conventional, like is there a conventional soul flip and whatever, but like the things that surround that element makes it so weird, like tempos are off, there's like very
experimental
like
stuff
suddenly like coming in and stuff like that. There's like tempos that are like really going to overdrive in like some parts of the song, and like the MCs on these tracks are just like killing it. So
nasty.
I will go with I'll go with two songs. There's a song called Cakewalk, which is the intro, and there's a song called Double Edge. And I think Wulavang made this beat. I think Wulavang is it Kundi Panda?
I think you know, I'm not too sure. I'm not
I'm not sure. Maybe I'll have to do more research for that. Maybe it's a new producer, I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, those are the songs that I want to recommend, like, since we're going to talk about it next week anyway in detail. So yeah,
for sure. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please do comment and let us know which album you're excited for. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please go subscribe to our podcast on all platforms and please give us that 5-star rating. If you want more K-hip-hop contents, go check out Daytona's Instagram at myk_Daytona for K-hip-hop album reviews, and also follow our social media page at soul_therapy. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.